Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond. And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
We got a tongue lashing by Eamon during the break. Oof.
Something vicious.
Man, was he feisty. Before we get to the calls, because I do want to get to the calls.
Wait, should we be doing a trending right now?
617
That's coming up next.
617-779-7937. On the text line, 207, Tennessee didn't practice for 2 weeks and blew out Buffalo. I am aware. I will say this, because obviously that texter is comparing the Patriots' performance with their circumstances versus Tennessee. Number one, Tennessee had their offensive line. Number two, Tennessee's quarterback did not have COVID, and he has been practicing. And by the way, they were practicing away from the facility. Let's not forget about that. They were practicing at a private school, so they were getting practices in. It just wasn't your typical practices. Third of all, that offense is what it is. They have continuity. The offensive coordinator, the head coach, the quarterback, all of the players on that offense, pretty much to a man, have been together since last season. So the circumstances, when you compare the Patriots to the Titans, they're much, much different. They're much different.
More talented, too.
Yes, and they are more talented.
I think it's easier to just show up when you're more talented.
That is absolutely true. But I do think I heard that, you know, a number of times throughout the week on late night, people texting in saying, oh, well, Tennessee did this. Two different teams, two different situations. One team has continuity. One team, like I said, was actually practicing away from the practice field. One team was pretty much, you know, sitting in their rooms, stewing. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst. Kelly's up next. Hey, Kelly.
What's up, Jack? Hey, great show today. Great production today. Eamon knows what's up. He's got to be one of the best behind the glass.
That's my guy, Kelly, right there.
I mean, I don't know. He's like a break behind. So
how much, Kelly, how much did Eamon pay you to say that? Is that cash? Is it check?
Food. Eamon has paid me over the years with his great service to the WEEI, et cetera, et cetera. But, yo,
goddamn
I
right,
want to also stick up. I want to also stick up for my man, Andy Hart. Uh-oh. I do think that this is a sports station, so not knowing about, I mean, like, Hendrix is God, but not knowing about, like, you know, the songs and stuff, it's kind of like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, we make too big a deal of everyone has to be this Renaissance man, and you have to know everything about everything.
Kelly,
like,
or we're just joking with each other.
It felt like bullying to me. Joking, like, bullying, it's a fine line.
Or I'm just busting his balls.
I used to say to people when I was bullying them, I'm just busting his balls, principal.
Oh, will you stop it? Anyway, all right, let's get to your Patriots point.
Yeah, all microaggressions aside, my point is not the spiciest one. I will just say this. I don't know if I've heard somebody say this yet. It's a little corny, but I'm not giving up hope. And the thing is, it's like this team, we don't know what's going to happen. It's like everybody's talking, oh, I know what's going to happen. They're going to be 5-11, whatever. Yeah, maybe. But it's like this is the first time in 20 years where if they actually did something, I shouldn't say 20 years because the first couple of years were exciting. But if they actually did something, even anything, like made it to the Super Bowl, that would be an exciting run. In the past, the way it's been being a Patriots fan is your options are total disappointment or mild satisfaction. I like this better.
You like this better? Wow. That was a strong finish from Kelly.
Kelly brings the heat.
Like this better. Now, it's not the only time. We've had this discussion over the years. Certainly the Matt Cassel year was sort of like this year. You weren't sure what you were going to get, and you know they ended up winning 11 games but not making the playoffs. And this could be a similar season. This could be a season where Belichick does a good job. Like, they are productive, competitive, and maybe you're the odd team out. Maybe you end up the 8 seed and don't make the playoffs. This could be similar to that 08 season.
Let's go to Josh in New Hampshire. Hey, Josh.
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 Hey.
Hey,
guys.
How are you?
How are you, Josh?
Hey. Good. Andy, I got a trade for you.
Okay.
Straight up, Cam Newton for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
We actually discussed this the other day on Dale and Keefe. It seems ridiculous, right? It's kind of a weird trade idea, but either guy's a rental. Fitzpatrick was playing well when he got benched. He clearly doesn't really want to be there anymore. Now, I don't think there's any shot in hell that this would ever happen, but I do think it's a fun thing to bring up. Would the Patriots be better with Ryan Fitzpatrick right now?
I think so.
I kind of think
so, too. At least he can get ball to open wide receivers.
Yeah.
And see the field.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has proven over the years with just about anybody he can throw for 300 yards. Now, he's also proven with just about anybody he can throw like five picks and lose you a game. So that's that double-edged sword you get with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But it would also, as I noted the other day, complete his journey through the AFC East. He only needs one more team, and that would be your Patriots.
Yeah, I think right now, again, in a vacuum.
Thanks for the call, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. The snapshot. You know, we take snapshots, of course. We go week to week. Like, right now, you could definitely argue Fitzpatrick would, you know, be better for this offense and all that. But I still believe, again, this offense is predicated on running the football. And at its best, Cam is better for the offense in that way. You're not going to be able to do some of the things before the snap that might misdirect defenses and all that kind of stuff with Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick, you know, think about Brady. You know, I'm not saying Fitzpatrick is Brady, but that kind of quarterback, you know, a pocket quarterback who's going to stand there and try to find open receivers. How was the offense last year? That's what my answer would be. Like, I would answer the question with a question, and you know, it's rather obvious to me that the offense wasn't very good last year. You'd have a similar offense with Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick is not Brady, so I could argue it'd be worse than last season. At least Cam gives you hope and optimism, at least I still have it, that he can add that different dimension to the run game, which could make this offense arguably, theoretically, much more difficult to handle, you know, down the road within the next couple of weeks.
First of all, I think Cam running is the basis, the strength of your offense right now. When he runs, he's good. Like, right. That's just a reality. He puts the defense in a bit of a bind. I would differ from your Brady take in that Brady's not a gunslinger like Fitzpatrick is, and that's why Fitzpatrick has those ebbs and flows, those highs and lows. What did Tom do last year? Oh, nobody's getting open. I'm going to throw it into the ground. I'm going to lead the NFL in throwaways, intentional groundings. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to do that. He's going to sling it to N'Keal Harry. He's going to sling it to Julian Edelman. Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't, but I think he'd be more aggressive, so you'd have some more highs and lows in there.
But when the lows are low, they're lows.
But the highs are high. When he's running around with that beard flapping in the breeze,
yeah.
And he's like Zolak back in the day, pointing to the sky after a big play.
Fitzpatrick has, you know, he's overall been great for the league. He's just, he's fun. He's fun.
He is
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You can also hit up Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. You can check me out there as well at Nick C Radio. More of Hart and Cattles coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Saturday calls for more sports talk. Now back to Hart and Cattles on EEI.
I will remember you.
Tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. 49ers are getting a good player. They're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate. And you're getting a good quarterback. Jimmy's getting a good coach. His career is moving forward. He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly. Again, have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
the return of Jimmy G.
This is not Jimi Hendrix, by the way.
No, this is not.
Decidedly not.
Decidedly.
But it is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Let me ask you this, Andy.
Yes.
When you look at Garoppolo, do you look at him as the one that got away?
That's a tough question. I would say no, because I don't think he's that good. And this has been an interesting topic for us at WEEI.com this week, because my pal Ryan Hannibal wrote a column about how the Patriots botched the quarterback situation.
Do you guys do a podcast together?
We do. It's a great podcast and a very good episode we recorded on Friday. So hot off the presses, go over to iTunes or your usual podcast provider and download that. Leave a review and say Andy's great. Ryan needs to pick up the slack a little bit. But he wrote a column this week about how the Patriots botched the quarterback situation. That either people didn't read, and I know that's hard to believe in this day and age, that people would just read a tweet or a headline and not actually read the story.
No way. Yeah, no way that happens.
Either they didn't read it or people are dumb. Because he didn't say what you just asked, like, oh, they should have kept Jimmy. You should have kept Jimmy. No, no, no. He said they botched the situation. And he based it basically on the idea, the premise, that 3 years ago, you had two starting quarterbacks on your depth chart.
Right.
You could even argue three if you include Jacoby Brissett in the mix. But two quarterbacks capable of going to Super Bowls. You know how I know that?
How do you know that?
They've been in the last few Super Bowls, right?
Ah, look at
it's
you.
Funny how that works. Quarterbacks who, maybe it's a stretch for the Niners, but if they get healthy, but, you know, leading contending type teams, playoff quality teams right now. And you may or may not have a quarterback yourself. If you do have a quarterback, he fell into your lap. You kind of got lucky, and you could have had what we saw in Kansas City, Hoyer and Stidham.
Yeah.
So that's all Ryan was saying. Not that you should have kept one or the other, but his point was, if you're going to trade Jimmy, for whatever reason, Brady made you trade him, Kraft made you trade him, you feel like you should trade him. If you're going to trade Jimmy, well, then Brady has to be your quarterback. You have to create a world, an atmosphere, an environment where Tom Brady is now your quarterback for the next 4, 5, whatever years that he plays, right? Somehow, they traded the heir, Jimmy, that Bill, we know, liked, and maybe still likes, and also almost immediately created a working environment where Brady wanted no part of you anymore. And you were scrambling to find a successor to those guys. And that was Ryan's point, and I agree with Ryan 100%. You botched it on somewhere in there. You can get into the details of what you traded him for. Was it not enough? Who you should have traded him to? When you should have traded him? You should not have gone from, as Bill labeled it, remember when Bill labeled it the best quarterback room or situation in the NFL?
Yeah.
Do you have one of the best now? Because I would argue you might have one of the worst. If Cam's not the long-term answer, you have a problematic quarterback position. So you botched that bridge in between those two points in time.
Yeah. The question that I would have is, was it Belichick's call? And that's been a question that we've all had, right? I mean, it feels like Kraft was unwilling to deal Brady, unwilling to let Brady walk at the time. And Belichick was maybe not given, you know, the code red.
Right.
But it was pretty much passed to Belichick. Listen, letting Brady walk or trading him right now is a non-starter. So I do think some of that was out of Belichick's hands. And I do wonder, you know, maybe, you know, how the draft falls and, you know, could they have tried to trade up and what quarterback would you bring in? I don't think it's as easy as it might be made out to be by some people, like, oh, well, you know, yeah, you had a deal Jimmy G, but then just find another quarterback. It's not really easy to just go out and find another quarterback.
But you had one. That's my point. And you're right. I don't know that Bill wanted to get rid of Jimmy. They forced down that road. But as an employee, and we do need to remember he's an employee, he's not the highest-ranking member of the New England Patriots. He's not
the
owner.
That is true.
So at some point, you can kick and you can scream and you can tell your boss, nope, these are the reasons why I think my idea is the right idea. When your boss says, no, this is what you were doing, isn't it then your job to adjust, to scramble, to change your plan? And I think that's what Bill should have done. Said, okay, I don't know that I love this idea, but if Tom's my quarterback, I need to make sure Tom is my quarterback. He's happy and what, you know, caress his ego or the appreciation or the whatever it is, he needed to work through that better so that you don't end up with no quarterback, which is what they had.
I would agree with that up until the last year. I don't know if Brady stays, even if he had some weapons. I, you know, and I don't want to relitigate that thing, but looking back at it and how everything fell together, I'm not necessarily sold that even if Brady had a couple more weapons, he would have stayed in New England. I think there was a point where he and Belichick kind of had enough of each other. Like, sometimes you have a marriage that's 20 years long and you can make that marriage a forever marriage. Sometimes marriages, they're together for 20 years and eventually you go, I've had enough and I'm tapping out. And that's why more than half of this country gets divorced, right? I think at that point, it was time to kind of break up in Brady's head. I honestly believe that. That ship had already sailed. But to get back to Jimmy G, he's average. And he might end up turning into something more than average, but now we're talking about somebody who's getting into his late 20s. Now we're talking about somebody who's been around for a little while, right? He hasn't had a ton of starts,
right?
But he's an average guy. And he's, look at the big game resume, right? Last year's playoff game, he has to throw 8 passes. They're not going into that game saying our quarterback is going to carry us to a victory. When he's been asked to do that in the biggest of games, he fell apart. He literally had one of the worst fourth quarters you've ever seen a quarterback have in the Super Bowl against a defense that wasn't necessarily spectacular. So, you know, he has not proven that he's the guy that will look at the rest of the team and say, jump on my back, fellas, David Ortiz style. You know, I'm going to take you to the promised land, right? He hasn't proven that he's that guy. He is, you know, of the almost Kirk Cousins ilk where if everything around the quarterback is great, he can make the run. If he has a run scheme that's tremendous, if he has a coaching staff that's really good, if he has a defense that is unbelievable like that San Francisco defensive line was a year ago, if you put the pieces around Jimmy, Jimmy can play well enough to get you into that deep run, to get you into the Super Bowl. He proved that last year. However, if you turn around to Jimmy and you say, all right, it's on you, he has not shown that he's able to do that in a big game.
I would agree with that. I think personally, his career, there are some comparisons to Tom Brady, and the biggest difference is Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady in 2001 had a lackluster Super Bowl, but in the fourth quarter put his team in position to win. Jimmy Garoppolo had a three. I mean, you can almost boil it down to a throw, that Emmanuel Sanders throw.
Emmanuel Sanders over the top.
He completes that throw. He has a Super Bowl ring as a starting quarterback. He has a ridiculous win-loss record as a starting quarterback, not in just the playoffs or last year, but over the course of his career, even with the injuries. And I think it's the narrative changes completely over that one throw. Like, that's how fine a line he is. Even though the details, I agree with you. He turns the ball over too much. His fumbles infuriate me at times. His seemingly lack of pocket presence, he's got a little gunslinger in him. All of that stuff is not what I look for necessarily in my quarterback. But he's won so many games in his career when he's the starting quarterback. If he makes that throw, it just makes it that much harder to argue against him. But because he didn't, now the argument's easier. And the injuries and the warts, and you can talk about all the things that are negatives on his resume.
Right.
They become that much easier. And I do think he's a middling quarterback. I really do think that's, but I also, and I would like to get into this in one of these segments, I think you have a middling quarterback. I think there's an interesting comparison slash question of the two quarterbacks that will go head to head on the field Sunday at Gillette Stadium at 4:25. Who the better guy is, who's better suited for their team, who can carry you to more wins. I think that's an interesting comparison.
Jimmy G is a motherfucking star.
Well, that's one opinion. That's, yeah.
one opinion.
Very, very valuable opinion. She knows him potentially intimately.
Noted football mind Kiara Mia.
Yes. I don't know much about her. Never seen her.
Cam or Jimmy G?
Have you seen her in action?
I have not seen her in action.
Okay.
I've seen her in compromising photos.
Nick, have you seen her in action?
No.
Now, are you lying because we're on the air and when we go off, you'll tell me?
No, dude, I watch porn.
Okay.
Come on.
Save that.
Go ahead, save it. I don't care.
You have to update the open.
I'm not going to sit here and go, no, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Are you kidding me? 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. 37937 is the text line. You can hit up Jumbo Hart on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. Also me at Nick C Radio. Jimmy or Cam, of course, we got to talk about this game also coming up tomorrow. A lot to get to. It's Hart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, are you lying because we're on the air and when we go off, you'll
tell me? No, dude, I watch porn.
It's Hart and Cattle right here on Boston Sports Station. WEEI. WEEI.
It's a big day. It's a big day today, Andy. I was just talking to you about this during the break. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I know there's not a ton of UFC MMA fans out there, but big day today. I'm very excited. 2 p.m. UFC 254. Gaethje versus Nurmagomedov. I expect it to be one of the best fights that we've seen in recent history. Should be a great one. It's a great card. And again, it starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which means I get to do some day drinking. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait. Once I'm done with this show, I'm literally going to eat lunch, jump in the shower, change, and then, of course, head out to watch those fights.
I'm going to get on my boat and day drink, but, you know, to each his own.
I'm jealous. I love boats. I love boats. Boats,
why don't you
boats.
Get a boat?
Why don't we have an outing on Andy's boat?
Yeah.
Because I don't like you guys that much.
Well, there you go. Eamon and I are fighting today, I think. We're going back and forth here. This is.
We're always fighting. Don't
get
it twisted.
He's still mad at me because we took a little bit long to get to the break early on in this hour.
We salvaged it, though. We're back on, right?
Yeah,
we're close.
We're right back on.
We saved.
Yeah, see, we're fine.
We got
no one died. I didn't, you know, did the station, the power go out? Nothing
no
happened.
Text.
No text from the boss man. It's hurtful. Means he's not listening.
Or he's just waiting until after the show, and then he's going to call all of us and get us on a conference call to yell.
I'm just the talent. I blame you two. I got a host and a producer. I'm just the energy, the talent. That's all I am. Like, Gronk can't, you know, be the quarterback.
Talent,
I'm
dead
Gronk.
Weight.
You know, the guy earlier in the show who was like, oh, why is this all about you, about Rhode Island, blah, 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 just said that he's the talent.
Well, it is what it is.
All right, let's go
to brand personality, if you check my title.
Let's go to a couple of calls here. Let's go to Kyle and Lowell. Hey, Kyle.
Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Kyle?
Just wanted to talk about the article and the botched quarterback situation.
Yep.
So in my opinion, I think that obviously the Patriots botched the quarterback situation, because if you go back 3 years ago, like the article said, we had 2 to 3 quarterbacks and we felt good about the quarterback room. But then we go and we trade Garoppolo. So the point from when we trade Garoppolo, from what we do after that, we go into that draft year probably with our best draft position we've had in a while, with a 19th and 20th pick, I believe. So it blows my mind. Like, I played football. I'm not much of a football scout. I never pretend to be, but I watched a few Louisville games, and Lamar Jackson was, like, unreal. There's no way you look at that guy and not take him with one of those picks if you need a quarterback. Even if you have Tom Brady and you know potentially you could be losing him in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, and you don't take Lamar Jackson in that draft, that's ridiculous. We took Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn. I get the Isaiah Wynn pick, but when have the Patriots really ever needed a star running back? And I think we see that right now. Like, I'd much rather have Lamar Jackson right now than Sony Michel.
All right, Kyle, thanks for the phone call. Let me ask you this, Andy. The Lamar Jackson thing, because people have brought that up an awful lot since that draft, and it's understandable. Why do you think they didn't try to get Lamar? Do you think that when we look at this offense now, Cam's there, and I think it's, you know, changing on the fly and adjusting. Do you think they stayed away from Lamar Jackson because they didn't necessarily want to go towards that offense that he's, you know, that he's in right now in Baltimore, that Belichick at that time was looking for? No, I want a prototypical pocket passer kind of guy.
I don't think prototypical pocket passer, because I think they have not embraced or gone all in on that idea of just marrying yourself to a mobile, modern, you know, not gimmicky quarterback, but just very different offense and scheme. They've dabbled, you know, like Josh drafted Tim Tebow. They brought Tim Tebow in here. We've seen some of the read option with Jimmy Garoppolo when he was here. And the thing, I think they're open to it. I don't know if they were open to, boom, the dramatic shift. And that's what you had to do. I mean, the Ravens went all in, right? They decided he's our guy, tight ends, running game. We are going to build a team around Lamar.
And we're still not sure that's going to work, by the way.
Thank you very much.
He won the MVP last year. But again, this offense is precisely what they were a year ago. It's all Lamar Jackson, not much else. The receivers haven't necessarily developed the way I think they were hoping. And this is still the kind of offense, when they get down, especially if they get down like two possessions, I don't know if that offense is able to win that kind of a game consistently. So I still think the jury's kind of out on Lamar Jackson and what the Baltimore offense is going to end up looking like, you know, within the next year or two.
I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, there's a reason why they lose to the Chiefs, right? They beat everybody and lose to the Chiefs because they don't control the game. Right. They don't control the game. Everybody else, they control the game.
Yep.
The Chiefs, they have to start chasing. And then it's like, well, do we stick to our offense? We keep running the ball? Because I actually think they got away from it too early last year. And, you know, they drove right down the field. Andrews had a pick, went right through his hands. And then they freaked out because they were trailing. Yep. I think they need to stick with it more than most. I also think there's questions as to Lamar Jackson as a passer and where that's going in his development. And I think Lamar Jackson's career at Louisville, great early, then became inconsistent. His last bowl game, he absolutely sucked eggs. It was bad. And so I think there were some questions, but looking back on it now that he's an MVP who has kind of taken the reins of a franchise and you were fledgling looking for a quarterback, in hindsight, especially with Sony Michel looking like his time could be running out as the lead back of the New England Patriots, the way he's played out, it doesn't look good for them, but I just don't think they were willing to commit to Lamar the way that the Ravens have since.
Let's go to Dave in Amherst. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. If you could hear me out for just a minute. But, you know, I'm wondering if football is passing Belichick by. I just don't understand how even last year to this year, you can have probably the worst wide receiver tight end core of 32 teams and expect to win when games are tight at the end. They stop the run. You got no answer. So we'll never even know how good Cam is because he's got no one to throw to. It doesn't make sense. It's the absolute, you know, travesty of GMing or whatever. That's all I got. Thanks.
All right, Dave. Thank you. I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night, Andy, and people are questioning, like, why hasn't Belichick helped the quarterback more? Why doesn't he do this? Why? Here's the thing. Belichick has gone shopping plenty of times. He's gone shopping for offense a lot. The groceries haven't been as good. He's walking out of the store with, you know, not the name brand kind of stuff, right? He's walking out of the store with the knockoffs, at least it seems like. He's been investing in a long time in this offense. He really has. I mean, okay, he spent the first-round pick on a running back in Michelle. He spent the first-round pick on N'Keal Harry. He spent a second-round pick on Mohamed Sanu. He just drafted two tight ends this past draft. He drafted Damian Harris in the third round. He has tried to bring offense into this team, and it hasn't worked, which gets me to the next thing, because I think, Andy, I don't know how you feel. I'm glad the caller, the way he framed it, Dave framed it right, talking about, you know, the GM kind of mismanagement, whatever the word he used. We tend to get wrapped up in the results, I think, too much when we talk about this stuff. What I think we need to start answering is the process. We need to start asking questions, not about, oh, well, you know, Sanu, how doesn't that work out? What we need to start asking, what is the Patriots' process behind closed doors when we talk about offensive players in that side of the ball? And what I mean is anybody pushing back on Bill behind closed doors when he says, we're going to do this? Does Nick Caserio, who's been here forever, does he stand up and say, Bill, I don't think we should draft that wide receiver. I have this receiver, you know, much higher. I don't know if there's enough pushback, number one. And that might not matter because Belichick might say, no, it's my team.
Right.
So I don't know, right? But the first question is there a pushback? The second question I have is, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of this offense. We all agree with that. Belichick doesn't really touch the offense. How much say does McDaniels have in these kinds of moves? Is his voice heard enough behind closed doors in the war room and taken as legitimate and say, wait a minute, you know, McDaniels, he is our offensive guru, so to speak. Maybe we should give him the keys. Maybe he should have more responsibility over picking the groceries. So I think those are the questions that we need to start asking, because it's rather obvious. Belichick has had his hits for sure, but recently it hasn't been good. And so I think it's fair to start questioning the process. What happens that goes off? Because defensively, Andy, he's able to find guys. He's able to draft guys defensively. You know, Chandler Jones and Hightower and Winovich and, you know, Duggar looks like he's going to be good. And, you know, J.C. Jackson, undrafted free agent, and Jonathan Jones. He's able to find young defensive talent. Dietrich Wise, he's able to find the young defensive talent more consistently than the offensive talent. Do they need to tweak something that side of the ball? And maybe, hey, I know it might sound crazy, but maybe Belichick needs to take a half a step or a step back on that side of the football. I know he won't do it, but
no
I think,
chance.
Yeah, I know, but I understand. I understand the reality.
Because that's a common, like, fans get mad at Belichick, the GM, and they always say, why can't they get rid of Bill, the GM? We'll keep him as the coach, and we'll hire somebody else.
But I don't
because you don't get to pick or choose.
But I don't want to get rid of Bill, the GM.
But that's how he would look at it. If you undercut him, like, if you want to take away some of my authority, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get me, you get all of me, or you don't. The problem
I understand
your question is why, like, this shouldn't be a problem right now. Nick Caserio's been here forever. Josh McDaniels has been here forever.
Yep.
There should be a, like, remember the old Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne warm-up? They'd always show pregame where they didn't even speak to each other. They knew exactly what to do, how many reps we're doing. We're doing outs, we're doing corners, we're doing slants, we're doing three of them, we're switching the field. That's how this should work between Nick, Bill, and Josh. They've been here for two decades. It should be a flawless system, right? And it's had its hits and misses over the years, both sides of the ball, right? I mean, they drafted Gronk. Like, they've drafted good offensive weapons at times.
Hernandez.
It just hasn't been consistent enough.
Right.
And you're in a down period right now where it's glaring because none of it really came together. Like, if Matt Lacoste had been an epiphany, right, last year, like, if he had just come in and, wow, this guy just needed to be in the right situation, I can't believe he caught 75 balls and 10 touchdowns. Well, that changes the whole dynamic at tight end. There's not the urgency, right, that you have now. But because of the way everything has come together, it's a glaring lack of weapons. Often, you know, tight end is just a cluster, you know what. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything out of tight end.
Well, I'm willing to be a little bit more patient because they have, you know, two rookies at that position. And I do think I've got to be consistent. Before the season kicked off, I said, I don't know how much you're going to get out of rookies. Some guys might hit right off the bat because they're ready. I'm a little bit more patient with this draft class, and it's not just New England. I'm talking about across the league. I'm a little bit more patient with this draft class, given the circumstances with COVID and no rookie camp and no preseason joint practice. I'm willing to be a little bit more patient with those guys. But again, these are questions that nor you or I can actually answer, right? We can't really answer the questions that I'm asking. I just think that that's where our attention needs to be. Our attention has been so much on, like, what's on the field because that's what we watch. I think the real questions are, what's wrong with the system offensively? Like, Belichick is picking the players, but is Caserio being aggressive enough? Is McDaniels being aggressive enough? It's the whole chicken or the egg. Is it Belichick who's, you know, nope, I'm the guy, and I'm not going to listen to any of you, and I'm going to pick the guys I'm going to pick because this is my playpen? Or is it Belichick, you know, might be a little bit more open if those guys were a little bit more aggressive? I don't know the answers to those questions, but it's rather obvious to me that picking offensive players recently, whether it's through trade or drafting them, it hasn't worked out. So something has to give. Or, you know, we talk about Belichick adjusting. He adjusts all the time as a coach. Does he adjust this process and say, all right, like, this is the end all be all?
And you don't have Brady to blame anymore either. Because
right.
for a while it was, oh, Brady can't bring in young weapons. He can't get them acclimated. He doesn't have the patience. Well, that ship has sailed. It's in Tampa Bay now, and it's got a lot of weapons down there that he likes.
I just think it's a fascinating conversation about, because we don't ever get inside info, intel, about what truly goes on in those conversations. And I think that's the problem here. There's obviously a misevaluation of offensive players recently. And, or, you know, maybe Asiasi hits next year. Maybe.
Maybe.
But from what we've seen, they have been more inconsistent on that side of the ball than defensively when it comes to, again, the grocery shopping. So it just me outside looking in, is there something that needs to change? And are they willing to change it? Or it is what it is. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937 at Jumbo Hart at Nick C Radio. Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.